Lord Jesus, as we open this portion of your word, we pray that you would speak to us. We pray that you would engage our hearts and our minds, that we would not harden our hearts this morning, but that we would listen to your words. And we ask this in your name. Amen. Don't know about you, but I love to hear stories and messages about my future, that things are going to be all right. We love to hear good news, don't we? But at what cost do we like to hear this good news? I've got a little picture that I want to show you this morning. I don't know if you can see it there. The queue of people standing by the comforting lies, and the guy sitting by the booth for unpleasant truths, there's no one. Because isn't that often how we think of things? We sacrifice the truth to hear something that you and I are comfortable with. So we will forego the truth. We will forego reality because we like the news, the feel-good news, if you like, of what is happening. Unfortunately, this idea doesn't just apply to our lives in the day-to-day happenings of our lives, but it also tends to apply to our understanding of the Bible. We love to hear messages from the minister, from the Bible, that we are going to have this amazing hope. We love to hear messages from the Bible that speak of our improvement, of us gaining wealth, of all those great things. But when it comes to messages about the fact that we are sinners, the fact that we are unrepentant, the fact that we need forgiveness, the fact that we are going to face God's wrath, we tend to shy away from those messages. Sometimes we even skip over portions of the Bible in order not to have to read those. In Jeremiah chapter 28, I think we are confronted with almost an exact idea like this. Here are the people of Israel, of Judah, of Jerusalem, hearing Jeremiah's words, not liking them, and jumping to this new prophet Hananiah, who is saying amazing things, that actually in 2 years' time, we're going to be better off than we are now. Isn't that great news? And I think we would love to hear things like that. Now, before we get into this passage, I think it's worth just giving us a brief glimpse of some background to where Jeremiah is at. You'll see there in chapter 28, it says in the fifth month of the same year. The same year as what? Well, if you go back to chapter 26, we read there at the beginning, in early in the reign of Jehoiakim, the son of Joshua, king of Judah, this word came to the Lord. And we are told in early chapter 27, early in the reign of Zedekiah, the son of Josiah, king of Judah, the word came to Jeremiah. And then chapter 8, in the fourth year, early in the reign of Zedekiah, king of Judah. We're talking the same time period. Different kings, or sons of kings, and there is a bit of controversy over the names there. Are they the same names? Aren't they the same names? But we are talking the same time period. So chapters 26 to 28, I believe, formed a unit, and they all happened within perhaps a week of each other. Jeremiah, in chapter 26, brings a message of despair, of destruction, and of warning to the people of Jerusalem that if they don't stop their wicked ways, they will have to face the wrath of Babylon. In verses 1 to 6 of Jeremiah 26, he speaks to the people in the temple. So the people had come to worship God, and I use worship in inverted commas there. They'd come to worship God in the temple. Jeremiah spoke to them. Then he took the priests aside and he spoke just to the priests. Then later on in chapter 26, he went and spoke with all the government officials and the king. And he spoke to them about what was going to happen. In chapter 27, Jeremiah gives another object lesson. And this time God commands him to go and make a yoke. You remember what a yoke is? It was a piece of wood that they would put on two oxen so that they would pull together. They would basically join them together with this wooden thing that would go around their necks so that they could pull the plow in a straight line. And Jeremiah is commanded by God to make this wooden yoke and to wear it round his neck as a symbol that God is going to do this with the people of Israel. That they are going to be under the yoke, as it were, under slavery to the people of Babylon, the king of Babylon. And then, after that message, after that object lesson, enter the prophet Hananiah, chapter 28. And this is my first comment this morning. The popular message. As the people are again in the temple worshipping, and again in inverted commas, there's priests and there's prophets there, and the people are in the temple. And perhaps they're all talking about Jeremiah's warnings that he's been given. Oh, this man, Jeremiah, he never shuts up about what God is going to do to us when we are introduced to a prophet called Hananiah. And in fact, we're given the proper ways of introducing a prophet. We are told there in chapter 28, verse 1, that the prophet Hananiah, who is the son of Azur, who was from Gibeon. So we're given who this man is. It's not that he's just suddenly appeared out of nowhere. He's got a history, he's got a family, he's from a place, and he is introduced. And we are told in verse 2, that he even starts his prophecy in the way that a prophet normally would. This is what the Lord Almighty, the God of Israel, says. In fact, Jeremiah has been using that very phrase to introduce what God says. And so, as Hananiah stands up and he says that this is what the Lord, the God of Israel, says, the people would have sat up and taken note of what he was saying. And this is what Hananiah then goes on to say. I will break the yoke of Babylon. Within 2 years, everything will be back to normal. Now that would have been a wonderful message of peace and of prosperity. Because the people would no longer be subservient to Babylon. They'd already been servants of Babylon for about 10 years. And there was a second wave of army coming to attack the remaining people of Jerusalem. And this is what Jeremiah is talking about here. And Hananiah goes on to say, no, forget what Jeremiah is saying. Within 2 years, we will have our city back. In many ways, for us, it would be the same as someone standing up and saying, at the next elections, which are next year, I believe, we will get a government that serves the people of this land and not themselves. Wouldn't that be amazing news? And we would all go, yes, praise the Lord, he's answered our prayers. May he bring about that. Or maybe it would be the same as someone coming up and saying to us, do you know that within the next 2 years there will be no more crime in South Africa? It would be an amazing piece of news, wouldn't it? And we would long for that. That's what Hananiah is saying to the people of Jerusalem here. And just in case they don't get it, in verse 10 and 11, Hananiah illustrates his message by taking the yoke off Jeremiah's neck, breaking it, and saying, look, this is what God is going to do to Babylon. He's going to break the yoke of our slavery, and we are going to be free. Verse 11, in the same way I will break the yoke of Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, off the neck of all the nations within 2 years. No wonder the people wanted to listen to Hananiah and other prophets. And no wonder they actually wanted Jeremiah dead. We see this in chapter 26 as well, where they tried to kill Jeremiah, but God prevented them. And a couple of the guys stood up and said he doesn't deserve death. Jeremiah tells a message of doom and gloom, of warning, but also of God's grace that if they repent, God will relent from sending this calamity. But which message would we rather learn to? A message that says we need to stop living the way we are, otherwise God is going to punish us severely? Or the message of, you know, don't worry, God's going to break the yoke and everything's going to be fine. Which message would you rather listen to? Which message would I rather listen to? And of course, I think our natural tendency would be to listen to the message where we can continue to live as we like and things will come right. In popular Christianity today, we are told that the Bible says in Psalm 37 and verse 4 that God will give you the desires of your heart. And that verse is thrown around everywhere. And people are claiming that, yes, God will give me the desires of my heart. So Lord, please provide me with a Land Rover or with a fancy house or with a big bank balance. Okay? And we think, well, it's a Bible verse, it must be true. Almost as if we are saying, this is what the Lord God Almighty says. But what we are forgetting is that is only half of the message. If you have a look at Psalm 37 and verse 4, it does say to us that God will give the desires of your heart. But just before that, in a little phrase, just before that second phrase, it tells us, delight yourself in the Lord, and He will give you the desires of your heart. You see, we only tend to take half the message. We think the good part of the message is for us, and the rest of the message is for, well, somebody else. And so we forget about the delighting ourselves in the Lord. In other words, to live in honor of the Lord, to obey the Lord, to live the way He wants us to. Then He will give us the desires of our heart. And that's of our heart, not of our wants. Popular Christianity tends to leave out the ugly bits about God. And so we think we can ask God for anything and He will give it to us. Well, how does Jeremiah respond to this? And this is my second comment, the true message. As Hananiah's message contradicted that of Jeremiah, Jeremiah was saying destruction and death. Hananiah was saying, ah, no, forget about it. We're going to have good life in 2 years. Look what Jeremiah says in response to Hananiah. Verse 6. Amen. May the Lord do so. May the Lord fulfill the words you have spoken. Even Jeremiah seems to buy into the words of this prophet. And we pray that the words of the prophet would come true. But then there's this huge big but in Jeremiah's message. In chapter 27, on three separate occasions, Jeremiah has told the people that they are not to listen to those. Verse 9 of chapter 27. Do not listen to your prophets, your diviners, your dreamers, your fortune tellers, or your sorcerers who are saying to you, you shall not serve the king of Babylon. On three separate occasions over the last week or so, Jeremiah has said this over and over again. Don't listen to people that say peace and prosperity. So apart from Jeremiah having said that, he also says here in chapter 28 verse 8, never mind what I'm saying, look at history. Look at the history of Israel. And verse 8 of chapter 28, he says, from early times, the prophets who preceded you and me have prophesied war, disaster, plague against many countries and great kingdoms. So he says there in verse 9 that the prophet who therefore preaches peace and prosperity must be proved by whether their words come true or not. Basically, in a polite way, remember Jeremiah still standing in the temple here, he rebukes Hananiah and he says to him, that he is actually a false prophet. Because in the history of the prophets of Israel, all the prophets have spoken and warned people of God's impending judgment if they do not repent and follow him. And here we've now got a man claiming to be a prophet of God who speaks about, carry on with your lives, everything's going to be fine. And so Jeremiah is pulling Hananiah up and saying, all right, you say this, let's see if your words come true. But if they don't, you are a false prophet. And friends, we are the same, even though we might not admit it. We tend to think that the messages or the warnings in the Bible, the messages that we dislike in the Bible, that they're not meant for us, that they're meant for somebody else. How often have you read the Bible and say, so-and-so needs to read that verse? You ever done that? I've done that. And we fail to take note of what that verse is saying to me. And then when we come to the positive messages in the Bible, and yes, there are lots of them, we take those verses for ourselves. And we forget and ignore the verses of warning, the verses that speak of our sinfulness. Why do you think some churches are so full and others are empty? Perhaps it's because people run after ministers who teach what they want to hear rather than the truth of the Bible. Again, if Megan can put our picture up for us, just to remind us of that picture. People flock to hear the comforting lies, but they do not like to hear the uncomfortable truths. Now, one final comment this morning, and this is my third comment, the dangerous message. Jeremiah has now left the temple, and after he's left the temple, in a short while after that, perhaps a day or two after this whole temple occurrence, perhaps later that same day, the word of the Lord came to Jeremiah and told him to go and speak privately with Hananiah. As human beings, we're funny creatures in many ways, that we think that if we say something positive when something bad is happening, that will stop that bad thing from happening. It's the whole ostrich head in the sand idea, that if we bury our head to the problem, it'll go away. If we say positive thoughts in a negative situation, that negative situation will disappear. And many people are teaching us that today. They say to us, just think positively. If you're having bad things in your life, it's because you don't have enough faith. And they think that if we think positive thoughts, if we say positive things, the bad things won't happen. But Jeremiah now comes to Hananiah, and he says to Hananiah, verse 13, you have broken the yoke of wood, but look what God's going to do for you. He will put a yoke of iron around your necks. Wood is easy-ish to break. Iron, on the other hand, does not break. And this is what Jeremiah is saying to Hananiah. You will serve the king of Babylon. It seemed that Hananiah had won the day in the temple. But had he won the day with God? Well, no, because Jeremiah brings the truth to Hananiah, and in the end, it's God's word that wins, not Hananiah's. In fact, in verse 15, Jeremiah tells Hananiah, you are not sent from the Lord, and as a result of this, because you are a false prophet, you will be punished. And in fact, he tells him, you will be killed because, and here's the big thing, he preached rebellion against the Lord. Here's a prophet preaching what the people want to hear, and the people happily accept him because he's preaching, live your lives as you like, carry on, and everything will be fine. Whereas Jeremiah is saying, you have rebelled against God, you have sinned against God, repent, turn to him. And we read here by the end of this chapter, in the seventh month of the same year, Hananiah the prophet died. If Hananiah had stood up in the temple and told the people to repent of their sinful ways, if he'd affirmed Jeremiah's prophecies that God was going to bring destruction, Hananiah would have been seen as a true prophet. But instead, Hananiah says, our wicked king who used to rule over us will be back in power, and we will live happily under him. See, how often, friends, is that not the message of the false teacher? They puff us up, they make us feel good about ourselves, well-chosen Bible phrases to convince us, but it's only half the truth. How many preachers, prophets, apostles, evangelists today speak only a message of hope and of peace and of wealth and of health and of a happy life and fail to warn us of sin and judgment and the wrath of God and the need for repentance? Friends, we need to watch ourselves that we are not prone to falling prey, as it were, to the feel-good message. The message that makes me feel better about myself when we ignore the message of truth that might hurt. Imagine for a moment that you have sat under a teacher for years and years. You have been taught what you think is the truth. You've been shown how to manage your finances. You've been taught how to deal with relationships within your families. You've even been shown how to deal with conflict. But imagine that that speaker has failed to talk to you about eternity. Do you see how serious this is? When you and I die one day and we are standing perhaps at the gates of heaven, and we are shown there that there's actually eternal life or death, and all we know is, well, I know how to handle my family. I know how to deal with conflict. I know how to handle my money. And yes, I've been very generous with my money. They're going to say at the gates of heaven, sorry, you don't know the Lord Jesus. You're going to eternal death in hell. Imagine how serious that would be for you and I if we continue to ignore the truth and chase after those things that make us feel comfortable and happy. Isaiah the prophet, who prophesied a few years before Jeremiah, says in chapter 8 and verse 20, if anyone does not speak according to the word of God, they have no light of dawn. In other words, they are not speaking the true message of the Bible. If they do not speak the words of God in the context that they were meant to be read. Friends, as true Christians, we should value the truths that the Bible teaches us, even when they are uncomfortable for you and me to hear. Even when it means that you and I have got to make some drastic change in our life. True Christians do not accept the lie that all people deserve to go to heaven because we're actually all good. True Christians know that the world's lie that all religions are equal is false, and that the only means of salvation is through the Lord Jesus Christ and his death on the cross. So as we close off today, are you and I prone to listen to the happy lies and the comforting lies of the world and the false teachers? Well, I could say, I suppose, a bit tongue-in-cheek, carry on. Listen to what they say, but take this warning. They will lead you nowhere. On the other hand, perhaps we need to be more like Jeremiah. Listening to God's truths, as uncomfortable and difficult as they are, but also preaching the truth of God in each and every situation that we find ourselves in. Do we give in to popular demand, to external pressure to keep quiet about sin? Or do we stand up for it, despite the consequences? Friends, if we learn nothing else from this morning, stop believing the lies. Believe the truth and stay true to it. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, we thank you for your word. We thank you for this passage in Jeremiah, Lord, where Jeremiah confronts the false prophet Hananiah. We pray, Lord, that we would not be prone to listening to false prophets. In fact, Lord, we pray that we ourselves would not be the false prophets who only teach the good stuff. But help us, Lord, also to take note of every word of your word, the good stuff and the difficult stuff. Help us, Lord, to learn from it, to grapple with it, to understand what you are saying. And we ask this in your name. Amen.